It's 9:20 and time for our Ask an Expert segment, sponsored by Stanford Healthcare. Each weekday morning at this time, we're working to get the answers to your questions about different aspects of the ongoing pandemic. And today, as the city of San Francisco moves forward with reopening plans, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed. Madam Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions lined up, so get to those in a moment. But just if I can touch bases with you on a few things first off, what is the state of San Francisco right now from your perspective in terms of the infection rate, the hospital bed situation, all of those things that are being so closely watched by public health experts?
Well, the state is we are in a better place. As of today, we have 9,617 cases. We have 985 of those are active, 75 hospitalizations, and 84 deaths. The good news is we are seeing some of the rates decline. We were at a point where there were an average of 100 new cases a day, and there are less than 70 new cases a day, which is a completely better place than we have been, which has given us an opportunity to begin the reopening process again. So, look, we're not out of the woods, and I know this has been frustrating. We've been in this for 6 months, and so everyone, I'm sure, is really tired of it. But more importantly, so many businesses that are closed are really frustrated by this and wanting to open as quickly as possible. And so we've provided some guidelines yesterday for opening businesses, guidelines for schools, and as long as we keep pace in this way and we don't see some major outbreak, we'll be able to move forward. And so that's where we are right now.
And maybe you can recap for people who missed yesterday's announcement what those changes will look like and when they might happen and what needs to happen for them to happen.
So what needs to happen is we need to see the infection rate continue to be below our RE number, which is below one. And the good news is we're there. We're at 0.90, and we want to keep it that way because what happens is, I'm sure you know, when it goes above the one, then the spread happens faster. And so we're at a good rate, but the plan is to begin to allow more businesses to open. And we want to, of course, give schools guidelines so that they can start their opening process. And so what needs to happen is, especially with Labor Day weekend coming up, people need to wear their masks, keep their distance, don't have a big party or large gathering, don't go to a big party or a large gathering, because what we're finding with our contact tracers is that is where the infections are happening, when people are around one another for extended periods of time, usually in these kinds of gatherings. So I think the longer you're hanging out with someone, the more comfortable you get. You're not thinking about you're using the same bathroom. You might be touching the same counter or the same glass and not even thinking about how that's impacting your ability to catch the virus. And so it's just really important that we're mindful even more now more than ever, because we've been in this so long and because there's hope for us to get out of it if we all do our part.
Okay, well, let's get to questions. We have quite a few of them lined up. Madam Mayor, I'm sure you're aware some of them will be pointed because that's the way the world is these days. If our listeners still have questions, you can go ahead and email them to us at askus@kcbsradio.com. First one here. For months, California was the only state with closed salons and barber shops. Other states allowed barbers and stylists to reopen with modifications, with construction, retail, in-home services, and restaurant businesses. California finally has a reopening plan that aligns with our region and beyond. Why is San Francisco not following that plan and the data that consistently shows gatherings create spread, not hair salons and barber shops?
Look, I don't disagree with the hair salons and the barber shops. I think that they are right. But I'm not a doctor. They're not doctors. And my responsibility, unfortunately, at this time is to trust our experts. And what they are not doing is what I know these places want to do, is giving them the green light to reopen. I'm not happy about it, and I get it. And I know that these businesses have been closed for this long, and most likely many of them won't reopen. So, of course, as mayor, I am being aggressive in pushing back on our public health experts to understand the economic challenges that exist, which also lead to mental health challenges. And so we have these conversations. There's a lot of pushback, and I try to be as aggressive as possible when working with them to use the data and their logic and their reasoning for why they think this can't happen. So I know that's not the answer that they want to hear. I know they want to open. I don't disagree. The arguments, all of the arguments they present are the same arguments that I'm having with our public health officials to say, well, why can't we do this? Why can't there be one person at a time? Why can't people wear masks? Why can't this happen? Like, this is not just happening with regards to the hair salons. This is also conversations I'm having with them about the churches and the need for people to have a spiritual outlet. What's happening with the museums, which fortunately they agreed and were able to move up the museums. But at the end of the day, you know, it's important that I listen to our public health experts. It's important that I fight to get this city open as quickly, as safely as possible. So it's been a real, real challenge, and I'm sorry that they're experiencing this. I know that this doesn't give them comfort, but this is where we are at this time.
Maybe, because here's another one that wants to know if a modified city order could be proposed with strict health compliance for salons to be open. San Francisco is not a great place to do a lot of things outdoors, narrow sidewalks, limited open space, the climate, and all of that. Maybe you can explain to people with questions like this exactly what your role, the Board of Supervisors' role, is vis-a-vis the state regulations.
Happens with the state regulations, and I will say that mostly the county health officer and the Department of Public Health as a whole, and working with our city attorney's office, interprets what the state has provided in terms of guidelines. And then they take the state guidelines and they look at the data in San Francisco. And as a result, they determine, well, what can we open? And it's also based on the number of people, movement, whether or not people can wear masks at the time, and so on and so forth, and decisions like that are made. But so, for example, tattoo parlors and piercing, the problem with that, unfortunately, is a state law. We should have had them on this list to be able to open, to do outdoor business, but under state law, they can't operate outdoor. So there's all these different nuances, which has made it horrible from my perspective for these businesses, and frustrating because, again, it's like, why? Why can't we? Why can't we? And not to mention, we're under a state of emergency. So how are we going to make sure that we move faster? We have moved faster in terms of providing access for restaurants to be able to operate outside quickly, but of course that's not enough. That's not going to sustain our economy. I understand that. So it's very complicated. It involves, you know, a lot of legalities and a lot of other issues. And also, we have to do a better job at communicating, because the challenge we've had, of course, is sometimes there's mixed messages from the state. Sometimes there's, you know, inconsistent information that comes out of the city, and people don't understand why. And a lot of it has everything to do with how we're using science and data and other information to determine if we could allow so many more businesses and people to move around. Because the more businesses we open, the more people are moving around, the opportunity for the virus to spread happens. And that's really how they're helping to make decisions. And my hope is that as they start to analyze the next 2 weeks, it will provide an opportunity to do more.
Okay. Next question. Begins to your credit. San Francisco's curve has been flat throughout the pandemic, whereas we celebrate the fact that hospitals are empty. It begs the question at this point, what is our goal? To keep hospitals empty or to strike some sort of balance that would allow reopening before more and more businesses go under? Sadly, striking a balance may mean more hospitalizations, but it appears our hospitals can accommodate some degree of that.
Well, again, so as a person who isn't a doctor, I feel the same way, where I'm like, well, okay, why can't we do more, right? We have the ability, we have the capacity if something happens. But I don't know if you were able to see the talk I did explaining this with Dr. Grant Colfax, how the surge can go from hardly any cases to zoom overnight and could be completely out of control where our capacity can't handle it. I think that's really why they are very uncomfortable with, you know, moving at a fast pace, because this surge could happen so rapidly, unlike anything else we've experienced. That's where the biggest challenge is. I don't disagree, but at the same time, you know, the numbers, the data, the science is what has to guide us in making these decisions.
Okay. Well, we knew we'd get a couple of Nancy Pelosi questions, so here they are. Did Nancy Pelosi violate San Francisco's health order when she had her hair done on Monday? And the other question wants to know what sort of penalty or sanctions been placed on the salon where it happened.
So, look, Nancy Pelosi has done so much for this city and even this country. In the midst of this pandemic and all the stuff that's happening around this election, she is in Washington, D.C., fighting against a tyrant every single day. We need to be focused on the issues and the fact that over 180,000 people have died in this country, and we have a president that continues to divide us. And the reason why salons like this and other places can't open has a lot to do with where we are as a country and the fact that we have not had strong federal leadership, and that's what she's fighting against. That should be the issue. That should be what we're talking about.
Okay, next question. When are indoor pools going to open for swim team? Our kids are currently unable to practice, and swimming is safe. There's a difference between swim team practice and congregating to hang out at a pool.
Yes, and I think that's coming up. I think that was in the list. Indoor swimming pools are tentatively allowed to operate starting at the end of October if the data supports the expansion.
Okay. We have a couple kind of specific ones about neighborhoods here. This one, please explain the ongoing closure of thoroughfare streets such as Kirkham and Ortega in the Sunset that have few businesses and no apparent construction, while only a few streets or sections of streets in the cities with restaurants that could build outdoor patios to help stay in business have been closed. San Francisco's tax and economic base are vanishing before our eyes, and while closing streets like Kirkham and Ortega may be great for skateboarders and cyclists, it's not going to put people back to work and generate tax revenue.
Well, I'm not completely familiar with those neighborhoods because, you know, on the one hand, you have some restaurants who are saying, yes, close my streets. And on the other hand, you have some that aren't. And I do think that it's important to reach out to our office if there's anything that we can do to figure out a compromise between those businesses and the neighbors. We can do that. We've had situations like on Valencia where we do this whole close down the streets for the restaurants. There's one block in between that isn't closed because the folks who were there and the businesses wanted one where cars could at least get through. And I just think it's really about adjusting, compromising, and if they want to reach out to us and there's something that we can do, the Mayor's Office of Economic and Workforce Development, we are happy to work with those businesses to come up with a compromise so that they have the support to do what's necessary during this time.
Okay, similar vein, this question is, we have Grant and Green's full of bars and restaurants that have opened onto the sidewalks.
From the restaurants and the bars and the people who live in that particular area, we in the city have worked with people to move forward. We don't make the decision to close down the street. We allow the people who are part of that community to help guide the ability to do that, and we've made it very easy for people to.
Okay, next one. I would love to know when I can get a medical marijuana card. I've been paying super high taxes on my medicine all year because the Department of Health shut down in March.
I'm not 100% sure. Maybe call 311 and they can answer that. But these medical or these the marijuana locations, the dispensaries are all open in San Francisco. So access to that medicine should not be a problem.
I'm guessing it's more a question about getting the card. And, you know, this also falls in the category of things like marriage licenses, you know, the kinds of services that used to be a walk-up deal and aren't anymore.
Yes, and there are ways to get that information. I know it hasn't been easy for people who don't have access to the Internet, but call 311 and they will direct you to the city administrator's office, and I'm sure they can figure out a way, especially if you are disabled and unable to use the Internet, to help you facilitate that process.
Okay, next question. I'm a freelance classical musician in San Francisco. I see from the most recent announcement, the goal is for San Francisco to reopen in mid-September to have low-risk outdoor activities. one of which would be outdoor family entertainment with limited capacity. Does this mean you could have small outdoor concerts with social distance protocols and masks, et cetera? And if so, would there be any additional restrictions put in place?
I think that that should be fine because it's fine now. There are a number of small groups of musicians that have been playing at some of these closed street locations, which I think is absolutely great. But of course, you if you're not in the same household, it's important that you keep your distance and you set up at least 6 feet apart in order to play together and just follow the guidelines. So I think that, you know, that could occur now, but it needs to occur safely.
Okay. Another neighborhood question: is the construction along Van Ness moving any faster during the pandemic because of the decreased traffic? How much longer can people and businesses expect to be impacted?
Well, I'll tell you, Van Ness has been honestly a nightmare. It has been delayed. There have been mistakes in terms of, you know, the underground situation and the plans. What happens, unfortunately, in San Francisco, it shouldn't be surprising that projects as large as Van Ness and the Central Subway and others have had problems, unfortunately. And of course, we are doing everything we can to be as aggressive as possible with the contractor to not only move in a fast pace, we want them to also do a good job because we don't want to revisit this project. So it's going to be a little while longer than we anticipated. And if the person wants more information again, please call us at 311. We usually try to direct people to the right department to provide the right information. And also on the MTA website should be updates as to when, how long the project will be, as well as when we can anticipate that it's done.
Okay. Next one starts with, thank you, Mayor Breed, for your outstanding leadership in helping San Francisco minimize the risk associated with the pandemic. So everybody's not an enemy right now, but this goes on to say, as a higher risk individual, whenever I go for a walk, I'm being exposed to people who are not wearing masks. They often claim they're exercising and do not have to wear a mask, even when they're just walking. With aerosols now being a major source of infection, why isn't the message being delivered to the public that 6 foot distancing without a mask is not safe? When I go for walks, people are 6 to 7 feet away with their hand or the mask in the hand. My understanding is, as Department of Public Health regulations require a 30-foot safe distance. Why does the city not require everyone outside of their home to wear a mask? Do I not have the right to walk the streets and feel safe?
Yeah, and thank you so much for your positive message and also the need to reiterate to the public how important it is, because you know, you may see somebody walking who you think is completely healthy, but you don't know their underlying condition, and they may not even know it. And so you're putting people's lives at risk. And what we try to do is, as much as possible, and today we're going to be announcing a masking campaign and just kind of reiterating the message, we're doing what we can to regulate in the parks and the spaces where we know people kind of congregate. But it is tough. And the thing I would say to those folks is, you know, do your best to stay away from people because you can't control other people's behavior. You can only control what you do. And so my perspective is that you do your best and the city will try to do its best. The challenge we have, of course, as you know, it is very, very tough to enforce. We can enforce with businesses. We can enforce in our parks. To some capacity, we can enforce on the streets, but it's really, really challenging. And what we try to do is we don't want people to get into altercations with other residents because they are not wearing a mask. We'd rather you just kind of keep your distance and stay away. Like, I've been in situations where I walked in the grocery store, and I couldn't believe how many people were in there. Not only did I immediately walk out, but I called the Department of Public Health to say, you need to get over to this grocery store because there is a problem with the capacity. Yes, people were wearing masks, but it was way over capacity. So I think the best thing to do is to especially avoid these situations as much as you possibly can, unfortunately, at this time.
Okay. Let's see if we can fit a couple more in quickly and then let you go, Mayor. This one, as businesses start to reopen, will you encourage non-essential office workers to continue telecommuting wherever possible?
I think it's the best for now. It's not to say that People under safe conditions can't return to work. The guidelines are provided on the website for the Department of Public Health as to how you can safely allow workers to return to work. If at all possible at this time, it is best that people will work from home. And I know, for example, you know, in my office, I work from home, but I also sometimes go into the office. And so, you know, we have to put in protocols to make sure that we keep one another safe. So it's hard for all of us, but I think, you know, making sure there are safety measures in your office environment, and then you're being aware, especially if you're sharing bathrooms or you're touching doorknobs and other things like that that other people can touch, that you are frequently washing your hands and wearing your mask and so on and so forth, because that's really important more than anything, and using good judgment.
It'd be great to see you here in Studio A someday, but that's not going to happen for a while. Because
I would love to be in Studio A. I would love to be anywhere.
We're doing the same thing. It's very strange, but it's necessary. All right, last question for you, and then we'll let you go. This one says, outside seems fine at this point. While it makes a lot of people a bit queasy to see people in parks and on beaches and at large demonstrations, at what point should you acknowledge the growing evidence that it might be okay to be outside in numbers?
Well, I think, you know, again, I depend on our public health experts to provide the guidance. And look, I don't always agree. I am not always happy with the decisions that they make. But I have a responsibility to protect public health. I mean, just think about it. You know, I have people who have been in business and people who, you know, need fresh air and need a lot of things. And what we're seeing in the city, I mean, it makes me uncomfortable, too. With Dolores Park, we're finally getting to a point where I'm like, look, we have to do enforcement in Dolores Park. We were trying to do it in a way where we weren't ticketing, but we're getting to that point where it's like some of the irresponsible behavior is problematic. So I just don't know when we're going to get to that point, because we were at a point at one time where we were going to reopen the city, and then the next day we had to dial it back and put everyone on pause. And you know, it's like, unfortunately, an emotional roller coaster for all of us. And the fact is, we are the kind of people, I'm sure, I'm like this. I want a schedule. I'm used to doing what I need to do, making my appointments, making adjustments, and knowing what I'm going to do every single day. And I know, especially with parents, it's hard to predict that. It's hard to predict that and live in uncertainty. But that's just what it is right now as it relates to what's happening with COVID, especially in the absence of, you know, having really strong leadership on the federal level with coordinated efforts and other things. You know, we're almost left to go at it on our own. The governor's been great with resources and other support and PPE, but I think that what folks should do is their very best to be a part of the solution. Any situation that they're in, to be mindful of how they could potentially spread the virus or catch the virus themselves. And that's really where we are now. As a city, it's not a good place to be. It's not the thing that your mayor wants to come out and say, I don't know, and I'm not sure when we're going to get to this point, but we are doing our best to provide guidance using data. And as soon as we have information, we try to bring that information to the public so people can prepare. But sometimes that information might change, and that's where I know there's a lot of frustration. I mean, specifically with the restaurants and the guidelines from the state and what the city is doing and what the city didn't communicate yesterday, what we didn't communicate around indoor dining with the restaurants, you know, because unfortunately we're not there yet. And so I'm going to be meeting with the Golden Gate Restaurant Association and other members to talk this through and to try and work with them in some capacity, but the fact is, a lot of uncertainty. People want certainty, and COVID is just not—it's just not giving us that.
These are our times, Mayor Breed. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning. I know you're busy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and I just want to say, hang in there, everybody. San Francisco is doing better than a lot of cities, and I know it's been hard for so many people, but just hang in there.
Thanks so much, Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and that is Ask an Expert for this morning. We'll check sports and traffic and weather coming up in the next 5 minutes on KCBS.